As a skateboard pastor, I have a front row seat witnessing gravity-defying tricks. And yet, in this moment, Jesus does a trick that leaves us doubtful our eyes are even working properly. The door is locked, and he just appears among us. Now, skaters might dub it the ghostly Jesus double take. I'm just guessing there. The ghostly Jesus double take, for he does this not once, but twice, and it's in doing it twice where the real stunning action comes. At this moment, Jesus has been executed by the state. His own faith community condemned him. His followers can do the math. They know that they are next unless they keep a low profile. And here we find them sheltering in place, huddled in fear, afraid of conspiracies, expecting the aftershocks of Jesus' murder to catch up with them too. And we all know that feeling that tells us it's time to hide. Now, the murder they witnessed was wrong, but they can't afford to protest. They don't even have weapons. Jesus took Peter to task and banished those in the garden. Passover ended, and yet they are not sure the angel of death has truly passed over them. Their only protection are these locked doors. And while it is evening on the first day of the new week, Jesus appears and revealed out of nowhere like this ghostly Jesus doing a double take. "Peace be with you," are his first words. And then he calls to his comrades to touch his wounds. And they do. They touch his wounds and they rejoice. And if they didn't hear, could they have heard it? And Jesus repeats, "Shalom, peace be with you," a second time. "As I am sent, so you are sent." Jesus is not always that subtle. "You can't stay here," he tells them. "Get going. You need this shalom for your journey, for all your comings and your goings. So start practicing it again. Peace be with you. Shalom." In our long days and long weeks and long month of isolation, while the mask coverings on my face feels more like an itchy sauna with a little dog hair inside, I have a pup, I forget most of the time that even while the mask I wear is on, I still can talk. And I walk silently, however, by the cashier at the store. I wave to a friend I might be passing by in a parking lot, and I forget at times while wearing the mask that I can still speak. I can still speak Christ's words. "Shalom, peace be with you." Lost wages wreak havoc. Businesses are teetering. Justice system is arrested itself. Plans and planes are canceled. People with the virus are sent to hospital without family or even a solitary companion to bolster their fighting reserves. And meanwhile, as conspiracies take flight and hospital workers struggle through the night, truck drivers keep going, gas station clerks are there to greet us, childcare providers must attend to those whose children must continue to find a place to stay while parents work these essential jobs. Migrant pickers pick without medical care. These are all on the front lines, putting themselves at risk each day for the enduring shalom of us all. The mission of Serious Juju is to see, feed, and strengthen kids, to celebrate skateboarders, and to serve Christ. Our ministry starts by seeing kids who are often not seen only halfway, seen with skepticism, seen as a nuisance rather than an athlete or even a child of God. And while quarantined, how do we check in and see them, truly see them, and offer them God's shalom? Here at Bethlehem Lutheran, with a suddenly empty space, you are leveraging it for God's peace. As Juju's warehouse parking lot is upended, you opened your fellowship hall to the mass sorting and assembling of food boxes delivered to children's doorsteps each Saturday morning. There are nearly 100 souls receiving this shalom, Even as they shelter in place, they know that they are seen even in isolation. They are accounted for, they are loved by Christ and their community. As you pay attention to your neighbors and their families and their children talking about their friends, when you hear of a hungry child, pass their name along to us, and we will add them to our growing grocery delivery list. Seeing our neighbors, seeing their needs now matter more than ever, truly seeing them. Your financial donations, your food donations, your willingness to volunteer is bringing God's shalom in these days to dozens of kids who we know already existed on the knife's edge. Extending Jesus's shalom is now reaching new heights. A tree removal service paused work to send up an elderly spouse in the utility bucket, three stories high, to visit his wife on the top floor of a nursing facility through the glass. Donations of tablets are streaming into hospitals so folks who are suffering alone can video chat with their family and receive shalom. A beaten young woman stammers to account for what happened and tells a friend, and together this week we met her in Woodland Park to extend God's shalom and come up with a plan for her deliverance. An underfed teen reported to her friend the gradual starvation happening at home as parents panic to have enough food to last them. When she failed to show up on social media, we were alerted and able to reach out and extend God's shalom. While routines have changed and parents are getting very creative on how to extend shalom to their children, while the pandemic leads to new heights of pandemonium and others already in the throes of disease and grief find themselves even more alone and more in need of God's shalom than ever, one thing that is sharply clear is that we do not all experience this moment the same. Enter Thomas. Thomas wasn't around when Jesus appeared. He missed out. He has a different experience than the rest. Over the years, we've called him so many names, doubting Thomas primarily. And yet the real action isn't in Thomas's doubt or faith. The real action is that God returns. God returns for the one, for the ones of us who are left out, who missed the big reveal, for the ones of us who weren't there for the first collective sigh of relief. We don't all arrive at shalom at the same time. We must be patient, especially as we rush towards recovery. Our experiences won't be the same. Some of us will be changed for good. Some of us will be eager to get back to normal. But the blessing is that God continues to return, continues to pour out the blessing of peace, continues to call attention for us to touch and acknowledge wounds that have happened while we've been away, so that we are empowered to become the peace of God. I need this God who can walk through doors right now, doors that I can no longer enter. I need this Jesus who invites us to acknowledge wounds and reach out to the wounded, and who in his resurrected glory is not blemish-free but carries scars. Many of us carry scars and marks from great battles. And if we are to live resurrected lives, the goal isn't to remove the scar, but to find the healing power and truth revealed through our trials. We need more people who neither hide nor flaunt their scars, but allow them to be leveraged for the deliverance of others. Thomas was MIA during that first revelation, from no fault of his own. And we know the peace needed to get someone out of a dark hole. This peace cannot be transferred based on the testimony even of another dear friend in that room. Thomas needs his own encounter with shalom and the wounds carried by God. For the rest of us, for those of us who weren't there, our blessing comes at the end of the passage. John 20:29. Have you believed because you've seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. This ghostly Jesus double take not only moves through locked doors and sports wounds, but also offers the same breath poured out on the first days of creation. Jesus breathed on them. Literally, God inspired into them. In these days when virus threatens our very breath, our very livelihoods, let us live inspired, God-breathed lives. Jesus breathed into us again and again to resuscitate us from our inhumanity in these hours. May God resuscitate us and resurrect us. In verse 23, Jesus cautions and empowers the frightened. He warns, in this critical hour, whoever we forgive, love, serve, feed, see, speak up for, will be cared for as part of the community and be saved. And whoever we ignore, overlook, discredit, take for granted, deride, their sins will remain, and they will be outside the care and compassion critically needed by the community. Let us make good choices where to spend the Holy Spirit these days, for our choices will make for life and for death. Today and in days still ahead, may we live God-breathed, inspired lives. May we pay attention to whom we pour out God's shalom freely, and to whom do we refrain. May we become attentive to wounds, knowing their power to deliver others. Let us be patient with those who are left out with different experiences of isolation. God's peace will come in waves. God will return again and again for each of us. God's shalom is needed now more than ever. And may God's shalom enter locked doors and prison doors, enter locked bedroom doors and isolation doors and ICU wings and boarded businesses and terrified tenants, every place we cannot access. Cry out to this God, and may shalom strengthen us to be what this hour calls for: generous, attentive, patient, and brave children of God. Amen.